Hi, everyone. I'm Maya Fleming, and you're listening to Gentler, a podcast about postgrad life, adulthood, and self-care. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gentler. I'm Maya, and I'm so happy to have you all here. Today, we are talking about financial self-care. I love this topic. I know y'all love this topic. All of like the top five Gentler episodes just about are financial self-care related. So I'm giving y'all what you want. But first, let's go ahead and get into some show updates and then some pluses and deltas. So I really just have one update for you, and I just want to remind you all to follow the Gentler Instagram at GentlerPod. I'll have it in the show notes because I'm going to be putting out news soon for a free training that I have been working so hard on. Like, y'all would not believe the amount of energy that has gone into this training. If you want to know first, whenever the link is up and ready, then just send me a DM, free. You can just say free or I want the link or anything like that, and I will send the link first to you or to the people who DM me. The link will go out on Thursday, so make sure you do that, and I will put that up. It's a free training. I've packed it with value, so you don't want to miss out. And even if you can't make it at the time that I'm going to be holding it, you can watch the replay and all that. So definitely do that if you're remotely interested. I will have all the promo and stuff start on Thursday, and you all will see it as long as you are following me. So pluses and deltas, I have just a few. So first plus, Club Gentler is underway, and I am so excited about that. In the very, very beginning, I don't even know how many of you, if you remember this, then leave a comment on like the Instagram picture promoting this episode that you remember in the very beginning of Gentler how I was going to have a self-care dinner party, and then last minute some things kind of fell apart, so I had to refund people, and it was kind of like my first little business disappointment. But one of the key elements when I first started Gentler was that I really wanted some type of community element or aspect to it. So some type of membership has always been on my mind, and I think I just didn't really know how I wanted to go about it. I didn't really have training. I didn't really feel like I would be able to attract people to it, but I was able to. I'm in a great coaching program that has really taken a lot of the guesswork out of the process, and I have some amazing members in Club Gentler, and I am so excited to work with them. We're going to have our first call this week, and I'm going to get to know them a little bit better and just help them get some results. I am really excited because I feel like this is where I shine the most, like kind of helping people through their stuff. I'm a Virgo, so if you couldn't tell, this is where I really just shine. So I'm excited. Along with that, our second Delta, the Gentler family is growing. So just listeners, audience in general is growing, and I'm appreciative and happy about that. So if this is your first or second episode of the podcast, welcome. Love to have you here. Stick around a while, and always feel free to send in questions or episode requests, anything like that. Delta, okay, let's see. So for those of you who are new, pluses are obviously good things, and deltas are not necessarily bad things, but things that represent change or could improve, something like that. You know, the name Delta is kind of like that change figure. So 2021 has been starting with a lot of challenges that I really have not once felt like they were bad. It's just like, whew, okay, I got you. This is how we're starting things out. Feel you. My laptop kicked the bucket like on day one. As I was launching Club Gentler, it just crashed. It just went black. I don't know. And it was super old, so that was, you know, one thing. And normally it didn't really last long on battery power. I kind of always had to have it plugged in, but it was plugged in and everything, and it just dipped out on me. And I was stressed. Oh my God. I was like, what am I supposed to do now? Like, I literally was in the middle of launching this program. These people who have paid are waiting for these videos. What am I supposed to do? And it was kind of like, at first, it was every worst fear I've had when it comes to launching a membership or anything like that. Like, am I going to be able to handle the pressure once I have paid clients and customers? So it was kind of like affirming those fears, but then I also recognized it was an opportunity for me to rise above those fears and start working on a new baseline and make the answer, yes, I can handle these things. So I quickly found a way to get a new laptop within 24 hours. I love it. I have a Pro now. And the thing is, I've known I needed to upgrade for at least 2 or 3 years now. And I was dragging my feet on it. And 2021 kind of said, listen, we don't have time for the things that you know don't work, okay? We have big things planned, so actually you need to step it up and start moving those things out of the way. And I am following suit. I am going to be doing that. I'm using that as like my mantra or whatever for the rest of the year. Just if it's not working, throw it away. And the things, of course, that I can't really fix, but you know, I'm not, if I had spent hours trying to, well, I did spend hours Googling how to fix my computer, but after a while when I saw it wasn't going to happen, I had to let it go. It was startling to spend so much money without prior planning, but financial self-care sets you up to be able to do those things, and some other things align. Best Buy happened to be having a sale. There's a Best Buy down the street, so I got it the next day. It was just like things kind of aligned and were taken care of, as long as I kind of did what I knew I was supposed to do. And yeah, 2021 has just kind of been like that. Ginger is currently in heat, so that is a little bit, it's not stressful, it's just kind of like a lot to handle. So that is how 2021 has been. There's been a lot of other wild things. I'm sure y'all are familiar with the Capitol incident and all of that. I am kind of watching from behind my fingers to see what happens on Inauguration Day. But yeah, 2021 is already packing a punch. So I am just gonna sit down, eat my food, and do what I'm supposed to. So let's go ahead and get into this week's episode. I'm going to take a quick break, but I will be right back and we will start talking about money. All right, I am back and I am ready to talk about money. So I asked you all not too long ago to send me some of your money questions and you did not disappoint. I got a lot of good stuff. A lot of the questions were about saving or about investing, how not to overspend, etc., etc. I've done episodes on a lot of those topics, so I'm going to link them in the show notes, but I definitely would love, love, love to revisit them and do updated versions or part twos, all that. For today's episode, I wanted to do a little bit more of an overall financial self-care kind of deal, especially because it's the beginning of the year. There are so many new people in the fold right now. So I wanted to talk about three things I really want you to understand about financial self-care, and then five ways you can make that happen. Five ways that you can act practically in those beliefs to make them true in your life. If you have the Gentler Guide to Financial Self-Care, then you know I have five money truths in there. And those are basically five beliefs I had to and still have to reprogram my mind towards in order to interact with money in a way that promotes gratitude and self-care. It's $15. It's in the Gentler store. I'll link it down below. It's super valuable, y'all. And I say that not only as the creator, but also using the principles that I have in that guide, I was able to do so much, like pay off my debt, monetize Gentler in a way that felt good and is sustainable for me, like long term. I was able to get Ginger, like a lot of different things. And even now, like developing, I'm still, like, it's not uncommon for me to open up the Gentler Guide to Financial Self-Care and just revisit some topics and align myself back to it. So if you're looking for like a quick way to kind of get your money in order, then that's a great investment to make. But yeah, so I want to kind of take a version of those five money truths in the guide and talk about them here in today's episode. So those three things I want you to really understand are as follows. One, you are in control of your money. So that's you. You are the commander of your castle, or does that make sense? The ruler of your castle. Two, you decide where your money goes, and then in parentheses, and how it comes in. So those are your decisions as ruler. And then three, you can use money to improve your life and daily experience. So instead of centering everything around money and the pursuit of it or the preservation of it, you can actually use money to preserve your own joy and gratitude and happiness and pleasant experience. That I think that's a big thing of financial self-care, is understanding that flip-flop of like, okay, instead of living for money, I'm gonna have money add value into my life. So I could really dive in and talk for days about any one of those three ideas, but instead I'm not gonna waste too much time, and I'm gonna talk about five ways, like I said, that you can actually practically affirm these things. So it's one thing to know, and y'all know I've talked about this before, but it's one thing to understand beliefs or affirmations or any of that, but the change doesn't really come until you start applying it, until you really start making decisions with that belief in mind. You won't see too much change. So I really want you to listen to these five ideas so that you can have some type of stepping stone to making these things true. So the first thing that really helps to kind of rework and reprogram the way that you interact with money is commit to making money a pleasant experience. So money is one thing that we see as a negative and causes us a lot of stress. That's not to say that if you saw a dollar in the street, you'd be like, ew, money, get away from me. No, you probably pick it up and be like, oh, huh, it's my lucky day. But there are a lot of other situations that deal with money that causes some type of stress or anxiety, like when you get an email that your phone bill is available and ready to pay, or when you eat out with friends, TBT, and the check comes and someone's like, oh, we could just split it. Whenever you have to ask for a raise or negotiate a new job, anything, like there's so many financial situations that really stress us out because we see money in this negative light. We're used to money causing stress. And a lot of times that comes from our childhood. A lot of money mindset stuff starts in our childhood just by seeing the way our parents react. So if you ever want to get a start on understanding the way that you feel about money, think of, like, a good place to start is thinking about how you saw your parents interact with money. And for me, growing up in a split household, my experience with money was very different in each household. With some parents, money was never something that I really talked about until I got a little bit older. With some, I was way too in the mix of the financial story of our family. So it kind of just depends. So there are a lot of different things going on. But if you're interested in kind of correcting those things, a good place to start is asking yourself, what was my first memory of money? Was it negative, positive, neutral, all that? But not to derail too much. We want to really undo all that negative stuff and rewrite the experience, so making it pleasant. So something that I like to do is to familiarize myself with money, just make it so normalized in my life. I used to love watching budgeting videos just to get an idea of how other people use their money. Like I was so interested and soothed by seeing people put money in their actual envelopes and do the envelope method, or see how they're splitting across income that matches mine, just to normalize it, see like how other people are doing it. I also love doing money dates. I talk about that often. You all know that. And whenever I do a money date, I really try to make all the other elements and other factors just as pleasant as possible. Getting comfy, putting on my favorite show or music, having a glass of wine, just making it all fun. Where even if I'm a little bit stressed about opening up my budgeting app or seeing what's in my bank account, everything else is steering towards the land of positivity. So I'm like, okay, it's a little hard, but I can do this. And then over time, it's just going to be not only a normal occurrence, but a fun one. Like, I love my spreadsheet and seeing, okay, if I put a little extra in the savings, where will I be? And then getting a little bit giddy about seeing the number switch and go up and all that. It takes a long time. And even I still have moments, like when I had to buy that laptop out of the blue. Definitely, I still have stressful moments, but the goal is to make things as pleasant as you can so that money is not a negative thing in your life and doesn't cause you that much anxiety. The next thing, get very familiar with your numbers. So when I say your numbers, I mean your income. So how much money are you making regularly? And if you have variable income, how much money can you typically expect each month? How much cash do you have? What's in your checking and savings account? What could you go to an ATM or use a card and access? And a card that is yours, not a credit card. But it's also important to know how much credit you have and what your credit score even is. What are your monthly expenses? Like, what is that number? What does your life cost? If you got everything that you needed in a month, all your bills that you need to be paid are paid, your rent, the food that you need to eat, how much does it cost to live your life? I already said credit score. How much debt are you in? You know, that's a really important number to know as well. And then how much is in your other accounts, like your retirement or any other things that are like other assets that you have that you can't really cash out overnight or right away, rather, but you still have some type of access to. And so those are really important numbers to have. And if you don't know them off the top of your head right now, that is A-okay. That's fine. Just making sure that this is on your radar and that you're checking in. So when you're doing that money date, you're checking in, you're checking those numbers, and you're just seeing. And this is not for you to do with judgment. Whenever you do these things and you look at those numbers, if you're continually telling yourself like, oh, I should have more, or why am I so behind, or why isn't anything in this account? Stop. That's not making money a pleasant experience. That's, you know, talking down on yourself and making it negative and stirring up more anxiety around the topic. Instead, just understand that you are in control of your money. And by checking the numbers in the first place, you are taking ownership and responsibility over it. And whatever it takes, however long it takes to steer that in the direction that you want to be in, you're going to do it, and you're in it, and you're good. But if you feel like it is getting too stressful and you just feel everything getting tight, step away. Step away from it. Go do something fun. Go do something that gets your mind back in a pleasant place, raises your vibrations a little bit, and make a promise to yourself that you will return to it at least by the end of the week, or maybe tomorrow, or in an hour, however, whatever amount feels good to you. But don't sit in the negative feeling. Don't reinforce the negative feeling around money. There have been times where I've been doing financial planning and just got really overwhelmed. Not even about negative things, but just like, wow, this is a lot. I did a coaching call recently and they mapped out my route to $1 million. And I was like, whoa, that's a lot. That's my head just can't compute. Like, I can't fathom, you know, it's just kind of like, I don't know. And I started noticing a lot of these thought patterns of like, I'll never make $1 million. And I've never even seen someone make $1 million. Like, that's crack. I can't do that. So while I'm stressing, I'm affirming these negative thoughts. And here's the thing. Y'all know how I feel about pursuing money and trying to be rich. That is not something I'm a fan of and not something I encourage y'all to do. I'm way more into the idea of having money to support the life that I want. And honestly, the life I want doesn't cost that much. I'd be so fine just sitting in the middle of nowhere with a farm and a yard for Ginger to run around in. But I don't want that, the idea, the reason of why I shut down the thought of $1 million. I don't want that reason to be because I can't do it. I want to understand that I can do it if I want to. I can do whatever I want with money if I want to, because I'm in command of it. But if I don't want to, then I don't have to. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's not because I can't. It's because I don't want to. But I noticed that as the coach was going through all these numbers, I was really dipping into that I can't space. So afterwards, I really had to step away, go do something fun, raise my confidence in myself a little bit, and then return to it. She sent me the spreadsheet. I looked at it and I was like, okay, maybe this will be possible. I can probably do this. Now, whether or not I want to is a different story, but if I did want to, I could. I could handle it. My point in saying all this is I also kind of fall in this whole idea of I can't do it. And whenever it happens, if there's any type of negative financial thing going on, I step away and then I return when I'm back like in a high vibration so that I can continue to make money a pleasant experience. So the third thing, take care of your future self. Don't leave your future self to struggle and to be mad and all that. Like, just whatever you can do to make future you a little bit more financially stable, do that. And what I mean, if you know that you are going to be dipping into your rent money or something like that to get Uber Eats, but you're like, oh, I have a few weeks before rent's due. Maybe I'll make it up or I'll deal with that later. No, don't deal with that later, because you know who has to clean up that mess? Future you. And future you is not here right now. Future you is not here to make the decision on their own behalf. So don't put future you through that. That is such like an underhanded thing you could do to yourself, even if it doesn't feel like you just now. And that's kind of the issue, is that we don't always connect with our future selves, so we don't recognize that the decisions that we make that strongly affect them are actually going to affect us. And I did an episode on that in the past. I'll link it in the show notes. But make sure that you're taking care of your future self. Whenever you feel like you're making a financial decision, ask yourself, what would future me feel about this? And by the same thread, you know, if you have the opportunity to set up a retirement account or invest or anything like that, consider it and think about future you. Think about, okay, I could use this money to get an extra couch or put into my retirement fund. And listen, I definitely am not here to tell you one is better than the other. You do what you need to do. If your couch, I felt a spring in my couch the other day and I was like, okay, so this needs to be replaced. So whatever that thing is for you, the main thing is just being aware that the decisions you make right now will affect you in the future. And so that adds a different layer to how you make those decisions. So definitely think about that stuff and take care of future you. But also be real, you know, like, and I'm going to talk about this in the next point, but if you know future you likes to do whatever hobby or whatever thing, set them up for success in that area. Put some money aside like that. Don't set yourself up for a stressful moment. If you know that Christmas is coming on December 25th and you're going to want to give presents because of the type of person that you are, me too, I totally understand, then make it easy on future you. Future you is not going to want to throw out $600 in one paycheck to buy gifts. It'd be much easier if current you just save $50 a month, you know, and then put that all in a sinking fund. And then at the end of the year, you have $600. And future you is like, huh, so I get to keep all my money or save it. Past me took care of this. That's pretty nice of them. So do that instead. And if that idea sticks out to you, that is called a sinking fund. I also have an episode on that and I will link it down below or in the show notes. So just think about ways you can take care of your future self. If you know future you has a doctor's appointment coming up and will need co-pays or anything like that, think about things like that. Be on the lookout for things that come up. Savings accounts are really great for future use, so that they don't have to worry about any unexpected expenses. Think about that kind of stuff. The next thing, align your spending and your earning with your values. So what I mean is, so here's a good thing. The thing that really shifted my thoughts on financial self-care and really made me think of that as a concept, I was listening or reading an article or something. Yeah, I think that's what I was doing. And one of the lines was, if I were to look at your bank account, what would I think was important to you? What would I think were your values if I looked at your bank statements? And I was like, oh crap, she's gonna think that I worship McDonald's because that's where I spend all of my money. And that's not true. That's not what I think in real life. What's actually important to me? Like, where do I want my dollars to go? So you have to align your spending with your values. Now, that's not to say that you don't put some money into a McDonald's budget because you enjoy it, or an eating out budget in general. If eating out and trying new food and just enjoying a day of not having to cook for yourself is important to you, put money into that. You're allowed. I used to think that budgeting meant that you can't spend money. I did an episode on this in the past where I talked about this a little bit more in detail, but really a budget just means you decide how you spend money. You decide where the money goes. You're not saying like, ooh, I can't have that. A budget is not, the purpose of a budget is not to spend the least amount of money as possible. That's what I thought. A budget actually just serves as like a guideline, or not a guideline because you really shouldn't be going over your budget, but more like a roadmap and saying like, okay, this is where I want this money to go, this money to go, this money to go. You give every dollar a job. And when you give every dollar a job, one, you're in control of your money, like we said. And two, you have a better idea of how you're aligning your spending with your values. So if you know you want to eat out, if you know it's important to you to get your hair done, your nails done, you can put money into that. Now, you might not be able to do it as frequently as you want right off the bat because maybe your income doesn't align with that. But you can at least say, okay, I'll do my own DIY hairstyles and nails, but once a year I'm going to go into the salon and get some type of maintenance done, and I've been saving all year for this, so it's really important to me and I'm okay with that. Like, yes, you always could just eat beans and rice and save the rest of your money, but you are allowed to also have hobbies and to have things that make you happy and to go out. I mean, not right now because we're in a pandemic, but you're allowed to do those things that are fun to you, and you're allowed to assign dollars to those purposes if you want to. And same goes with earning money. I am so grateful for the fact that I am able to earn more money through Gentler because it is something that I really enjoy doing. Now, work is work, and that's the truth of the matter. I don't think there's any such thing as loving your job so much that it doesn't feel like work. I think work can feel pleasant at times, but there's still things that, you know, feel like work, and that's fine. But I would rather do something that feels like work to this degree than, I don't know, anything else. And yes, I still have a 9-to-5, but I'm kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel for that not being a thing anymore. And that's a privilege, and that's something to be grateful for. But you definitely, if you have something that makes you feel good about the way that you're earning money, if you feel like you have something where you don't have to wake up and cringe at the idea of going to make money or going to go to work, that's a great place to be in. And you could maybe introduce something so that it can grow over time. Now, with that being said, I don't think you should monetize everything you enjoy, every hobby, anything like that. Have some things just be for you and not for money, for sure. But if there is a way that you can align the things you enjoy with your income, I would encourage you to explore those options. And then the last thing I want to talk about in today's episode is just to give yourself grace. Because here's the thing. Financial self-care is a process that you can start overnight, but you won't get the results you want overnight. You're not going to suddenly start understanding all the money truths completely and acting completely from the money truths. It's not going to happen. You're going to have times where you overspend. But here's the thing, you have to remain flexible because money doesn't change necessarily, but the way that we interact and the things that are important to us change. There have been plenty of times where I overspent and ordered dinner on a nap rather than cooking because I was super busy. And that's okay, because here's the thing, there's always a way to recover. And a lot of times, for me especially, and again, I did an episode on this, I'll try to remember to link all these episodes. If I overspend, I know why I've done it. That's a really important key, is to understand why you have overspent, to understand why you haven't met the goal, which is to only spend a certain amount, only use the dollars that have the job of eating out, you know? But I know why I've done it. A lot of times because I'm super busy, or I'm working on Gentler stuff, or whatever. And a lot of times by overspending, I'm buying myself convenience. So for me in particular, I'm not telling y'all to overspend because you're buying convenience. But for me, if I order out one night instead of cooking, maybe I'm spending $20 on food, but the amount of work I'm doing is going to result in more than $20 in my business. You know what I mean? And even if it doesn't, I have my money set up in a way where I can pull from something else and make up for that. A big key that came from me overspending, like eating out, I realized, okay, I hate the food that I have here to cook. It sucks. I don't want to eat this stuff. So I started putting more money into my grocery budget as a result, and I was able to kind of redirect the way that my dollars went in my account, and I was able to buy food that actually excited me and made me want to eat at home, and so I spent less eating out. But the thing is, you're not going to always get it right on the first try. I've talked about systems before and talk about that, you know, we go through iterations, we go through trials. So you have to see how trial one goes. And if it doesn't have optimal performance, say, okay, you know, you commit to making money a pleasant experience and you're like, you know what, let's try something else. It's not that you're bad with money. So many people say, I'm just not good with money, I'm not good with numbers. You just have to adjust your process, and that's okay. Everyone does. I wish people would talk about all their financial faults more, because no one is naturally just amazing at everything. That's just a fixed mindset way to think. If you overspend 1 week, that does not mean that you're just destined for a life of failure. It just means that something along the way that you have planned your money and assigned them jobs and all that, is not resonating or clicking for you. And you just have to get back to the drawing board, do another money date, get in your comfy pajamas, put on your music, get your wine, and say, okay, we're going to figure this out. Because that's you committing to yourself, and that's you helping, taking care of future you, all that stuff. You are making sure that money is aligning to your needs and your wants. You're not submitting yourself to live in a financial prison of like, oh, I can't eat McDonald's because I can't have it. Yes, it takes discipline. Yes, it takes sacrifice. But you still have to figure out a way to align the money in your account and the money coming into your life with the things that you want out of life. I hope all this makes sense, but basically I'm saying, if you find yourself overspending, if you find yourself not really getting the hang of your budget, if it feels like more of a restrictive thing, then ask yourself, what are you missing? What is it that you really wish you could spend and you can't? And then arrange things accordingly, you know? So definitely follow us on Instagram and DM me with some other financial questions you have. Like I said, I want to do another episode on investing. I'm going to do another episode on saving. I would love to do an episode on side hustling and how you can afford those little things that really don't align with your budget right now, like how it's talking about getting your nails done, hair done, all that stuff. So let me know any other financial topics that you want. I'm going to do way more financial self-care episodes in 2021 because I know y'all love them so much. And with all that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Rate and review if you did, and I'll talk to you all soon. Be sure to follow us, like I said, for the webinar training. Send me the DM. You'll be put on the list. I'll send it to you first, and I can't wait to see you. It's going to be next Thursday, so make sure that you are on the list so you can get that link prior to, because there are going to be limited spots. But I'm not going to harp on that too long. I think, yeah, I have one more episode to go before that goes on, so you'll hear about it again soon too. But yeah, with all that being said, I hope you all have a great day, and I will talk to you soon. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Gentler. If you enjoyed it, please give it a rate and review in Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram for more self-care advice at GentlerPod, and check out our website for more info, www.begentler.com. Talk to you all soon. Bye.